Okay, exactly 8:15. We can get ready for puja tonight. Puja is the Buddhist devotional practice where we make offering to the Triple Gem. In this case, it's to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then these offerings of flower, fruits, clear water, incense, and even candle, they have their meaning, very deep spiritual religious meaning. So later on when we do the chanting, the puja chanting, you will understand more. Then what we do is we will get some devotee, most of the time somebody who is new, to help to light up the candle and the incense. Then after that we can continue with the offering. Okay, tonight, like you, Gigi. Al and Lina. Oh, Phyllis. Okay, Al, Phyllis. You got another candle, not? Three candles. Then Lina, Nina also can come. Come in front. Help to light the candle and the incense. Yeah. You got another candle for Lina? Yeah. Okay, the rest of us can stand, Okay, there's one more for Phyllis. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, can start with the tray. Start with the tray. Siyan start. Then we say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu is rejoicing. You rejoice with the wholesomeness, the generosity, the faith, and the offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then pass on. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu is a Pali word. It stands for rejoicing. You rejoice with the generosity, the offering, the faith, and the understanding. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can go back to your seat. Thank you. Then we can get ready for the puja chanting. So develop the faith, the sadha, spiritual faculty. Then compose your mind. Develop the confidence within your mind. You make sure you have the chanting book with you. We will use the chanting book after. Now we will pay respect to Triple Gem. We will chant the Thai tradition. For those who are new, you cannot follow, you just listen with the heart. Then you just silent and listen to the vibration and rejoice. I will explain what it is. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4. We will do the puja chanting. So today, because there are three who are new, before the puja chanting, maybe I will make use of the time to explain a bit. This practice of pre-puja or devotional practice, where we make offering to the Triple Gem, is recommended by the Buddha during the ancient time. Before any spiritual session or activity, it is very good to go through this puja. This puja is called devotional practice, where you make offering to the Triple Gem. Then you pay respect to the Triple Gem. This Triple Gem, they are called gem because they are the most precious of all the precious stone. That's why it's called the gemstone. So in this universe, the Triple Gem are very special. They are the Buddha, who is the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, perfect in enlightenment. Then there is this Dhamma, which is his teaching, that can bring forth enlightenment to living beings. Then there is the third gem, which is the Sangha, or the enlightened disciples of the Buddhas. Some they call it the monks' community of the Buddhas. The Buddha's enlightened disciple or the Sangha community. But Sangha does not necessarily mean just the monk. They are the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. So these are the Triple Gem where you can find his teaching. You meet the Buddha because he's the fully enlightened one. He will have his teaching. The second link is the gem, the Dhamma, which is the Buddha's teaching itself. Then the third one are the enlightened disciple of the Buddha who also have the teaching, otherwise they cannot be enlightened. So this Triple Gem, when you have faith in them, when you make offering to them, because they are the special Triple Gem, there is a lot of significance and blessing. Then we start off with the offering of all the various important items that we usually make offering, because they signify many, many important spiritual cultivation and understanding. After, when we do the chanting and we make aspiration, you will understand. We offer candle, we offer incense, we offer clear water, we offer flower, and we offer fruits, cakes, and all those things. Then while we make offering, we develop the faith within. Then we develop the joy within. That's why we recite sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu is a Pali word. Means you rejoice in the wholesomeness that you have seen, the generosity of those who have made this offering possible. You rejoice in their generosity. Then you rejoice in their faith, in their sincerity, to walk this way, to develop this understanding, so that they can not only free themselves, help themselves, but be a blessing to all later on. This rejoicing will open up your heart and make you feel good, because it's just like when you have done something good, and when you can see goodness in other people, you have this joy. And when you do this, it is a merit by itself. It's one of the 10 meritorious actions. And because you did it with understanding to the Triple Gem, the field of merit is very, very different, limitless. Then after that, you can make use of this merits and blessing to help you to develop the aspiration through an understanding of all this activity. Then you do it mindfully. You develop the spiritual faculty of sati. Then your mind becomes very composed, you become very mindful, very heedful. You are very different. You are not like a normal person who has a lot of worry, anxiety, fear, and all these things. You are very composed, you are very calm, you are very mindful, you are very peaceful and silent. That's how you train yourself. So this puja, later on, we will have a closing puja too. But the closing puja is more simple. During the closing puja, we share merits to the devas, share merits with all beings. Then we invoke blessing for the nation. Then we make aspiration based on all this understanding, wholesomeness, and blessing. So these are basically the few things that we will do. Yeah. Then in between, we have our chanting, followed by the meditation. Then after that, the sharing. the reporting of meditation and the question and answer. Okay, with this we will start our chanting. Turn to page 4. The chanting is very easy to learn, even for people who are new. Page 4, we start with the Vandana. Vandana is the chanting of the salutation to the Buddha. The Pali word is Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. We repeat 3 times. The meaning is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. These are the qualities of the Buddhas. So just now we chant in Pali when we pay salutation to the Buddha. We chant the short form. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Means the Buddha who is the Arahant, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. We bow low to pay our respect. So this is how we pay respect to the Buddha. Then the second gem, the Dhamma, is the same. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then Dhamma, Dhammasami. Then we pay respect. Then the last one is the Sangha. So now we will start the chanting. The English translation, later on, you can read up on your own if you want to understand more. So now we will chant only the left-hand side, which is the Pali. Okay, we will start off with the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We will now chant the Padipa Puja, which is the offering of the likes. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamatang sena telokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siripada sarorohe. Puje mi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokhang. Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang. Adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Okay, now turn to page 18, the last page. We will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May our offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help us arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we get ready to pay respect to Puja, so that we can end the pre-puja. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. When you pay respect, you have to compose your mind and do it mindfully. So these are all training the mind, training your body and mind to develop mindfulness and the faith. These are very important spiritual faculty. Okay. Now you just relax yourself, body and mind. We will now off the light so that those who already know how to meditate, you can go ahead with the meditation. For those who are new, I will give you some simple instruction on how to train your mind and how to develop this meditation. So there is a bit of background that you need to understand. According to the Buddha, the reason why living beings cannot meditate is because they have this mental hindrance. So you look at the whiteboard on the top right-hand side. There are two sheets of essential Dhamma. The first one is the five mental hindrance. In Pali, it's called Pancha Nivaranas. These are the things the Buddha said that condition your mind to be heedless, because these are the five mental states that are very detrimental to your mind. They are called mental hindrance. Like the word hindrance, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, calm, and developing the meditation. That's why they are called mental hindrance. And living being who has not trained their mind, who has not developed the meditation, has a lot of this throughout the day. That's why you become miserable. Yeah. You lack peace. You cannot develop even a moment of true peace and silence. You can't even have a moment of clarity of mind unless you really train it. Huh? So these are the five mental hindrances. The Buddha called them sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. Of these five, the first two constantly arise every moment, every instant. Sensual desire and ill will, like the word sensual desire, positive craving, the desire of the senses. Throughout the day, when you live life, you have to see things, hear things, smell things, taste things, and tactile feel things. Then you have to arise your thought. So these are the six types of sense door consciousness that you have to encounter in life. But every moment of sense experience, when you see something or hear something or think of something, you will react and stir your mind. If what you see is something very pleasant you like, then you have desire or craving of that sense experience. Or you can recall to mind, and then you fantasize and develop the craving for that state to be retained. Or sometimes you can become lustful over what you see or what you think. This is sensual craving. So when your mind is preoccupied with that sense experience, it is lost in thought. It is no longer mindful. It's no longer aware. It's no longer silent. That's why this one become a hindrance. It will hinder you from developing the clarity of mind to be aware of what is going on, to understand the truth and the reality of the moment. Means to develop the understanding of life or wisdom. That's why it become a hindrance. Then likewise, when you see something or hear something or think of something that lead to fear, worry, anxiety, or dislike, or anger, hatred, insecurity, that is the negative craving. And that mind is preoccupied with that hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, dislike. That's why you are not peaceful. These two are called dualities. And throughout the day, when you keep on reacting to life in that way, that's why you have a lot of moments of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, that trigger off this negative mind state. Then what happens is, when you do it so often, it becomes habitual. That's why when this thing becomes habitual, means these two hindrances continuously arise in your mind. That's why you cannot meditate. You cannot become peaceful. And the worst one is when you want to learn meditation, because this is not something you understand or you like. You got no motive. You got no objective. Because you don't understand. It's just like you attend a class, a lecture, that subject you don't like on. What happened? You become sleepy. This third hindrance is sleepiness. Or sloth and torpor. Lethargic mind. So this one is also a hindrance. When you are sleepy, you cannot pay attention. You cannot understand what is being taught. And you cannot develop the meditation because the mind that sleeps doesn't meditate. You have to maintain alertness, attentiveness, awareness. The third hindrance is very powerful initially. But later on, as you develop the meditation, this one will cease very fast. But the fourth one is the worst, restlessness of mind. Human beings' mind has this problem, and it hinders you from becoming peaceful, calm, or developing the ability to be in the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. The reason being, the mind has problem. That's why it becomes restless. So when you do things without understanding, when you react to life, when you confront life situation or realities without wisdom and understanding, then you entangle yourself. When you violate the nature's law, the society's law, when you don't keep your precepts, you create a lot of what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So when you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, you are restless. You are not peaceful because your fear will drive you restless. Your anxiety will follow. Then your mental state will become miserable. That's how restlessness of mind become a very, very great hindrance. And this one will happen when you have life problems, like health problem, career problem, relationship problem with your loved ones. Then you have all the other related problems of life. So all this can give rise to restlessness of mind. When you have health problem, you worry about your health. You got fear. You got anxiety. Then you become like very, very affected because the fear of death, the fear of whatever that will come with it. And those who have financial problem also, you develop the fear. Then when you meet with a dilemma, crisis, all this can bring forth the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and your mind becomes restless. You worry about that problem. You hold on to that. And you want to get it resolved, but you don't understand how to do it. So that's why this one becomes a major hindrance. Then when you don't understand, the last hindrance is worse. There is doubt. You don't know what to do. Then you tend to simply believe people. They say, you must go and see this medium, this feng shui master. Or then you go and try everything. Finally, become worse. Or fortune teller, I don't know this thing. So all this is the result of the mind that lacks understanding and wisdom. So these five mental hindrances, most living beings who never meditate, never train their mind, they will have. So in our meditation here, we will have to understand, in order to overcome this, we need to cultivate the opposite five, the Buddha said. That's why you do your puja. These opposite five are called spiritual faculties. Pancha indriyas. Spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching, to develop the wisdom, the understanding of his teaching, then to liberate your mind, to free your mind so that you can become enlightened, so that you can have this inner peace, inner well-being, leading to clarity of mind that enable to you to develop the wisdom or to see things as they are. So these spiritual faculties are very important. The first one is the faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, and finally, yourself. When you are confident of yourself, you can develop a lot of wholesomeness. You can benefit from it. You can solve a lot of your problem when you have faith, when you are confident. There is also a saying, when you are confident, half the battle is won. Understand? When you go for exam with confidence, you go to interview with confidence, you will do well. But when you have fear, worry, anxiety, and you panic, you will fail your interview. You will fail your exam. So faith, spiritually, means faith in the Buddha and his teaching. These are the two very important faith. Then from there, your own self-confidence will develop. And once you understand who the Buddha is and how special he is, where he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, you have great faith in him. Then you have a lot of confidence in him, where his teaching can transform you, can bring forth the enlightenment and transform the way you understand life. And you will be able to have that understanding to live life beautifully, meaningfully. Then life takes a turn, then everything will fall into place. That's why this will drive you to develop the second spiritual faculty, which is virya, a spiritual zeal to cultivate this teaching, to develop this meditation, to go this way. So when you have faith, confidence, you will not have doubt. then you will be very composed. Your mind will not have restlessness. Then when you have virya, you will not be sleepy, because the energy, the spiritual zeal will drive you. Then after that, you will cultivate the meditation, which is to train your mind to develop mindfulness. Mindfulness is a very important mind state. It is just a silent mind. When the mind is just silent without thought, it's already mindful. When it is aware before the knowing, it is called mindfulness. So you develop the training of the mind to be mindful is to relax and just silent. Don't do anything. That is the state. But this state cannot arise because of restlessness, because of mental hindrance. Because when you react to sense experience, the mind stirs. It creates thought. It creates feeling, emotion, and all this will arise. Then the mind that has restlessness will have fear, worry, anxiety, agitated, disturbed. That's why there is this stirring of mind, movement within. All of your fear, insecurity, worry, sorrow, and lamentation, these are your negative mind state that make you very weak, very miserable. And it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, to developing the inner peace, leading to the inner awareness. So to develop sati, our puja will also help. That's why when you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed. There is no restlessness. Then when you pay respect, body and mind move as one without thought. You develop mindfulness. Then when mindfulness stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is a more refined state of sati, a very stable sati where the mind is collected and unwavering. When you have this collectedness of mind and unwavering mind, and when you can have this state in the midst of life, after you have trained your mind, meditate until very stable, then you can bring forth this sati and samadhi into daily life. When you have the ability, the way you live life is different. When you see something, hear something, or think of something, even fearful thing, your mind is collected and unwavering. It will not stir. It will not react. It will stay composed and calm, collected and unwavering. That's how this mind will stop the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. And to really root it out, you need to develop wisdom, the last spiritual faculty. When you understand why you behave this way and stir your mind, you have to straighten your view, develop the right view, the right understanding, which is wisdom. Then it will help you to overcome all the five hindrances. Okay? So in meditation, the Buddha say, don't try to fight the hindrance. Don't try to suppress or control. You just develop this opposite five, then this one will disappear. But most people don't have this when you come for meditation. That's why I will teach you a skillful means to develop the training of mind to decondition the heedless thinking so that these five hindrances will be temporarily at bay. Your mind will become peaceful straight away. We call it the mind sweeping method. So mind sweeping method will train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then you just feel. Relax, you don't think. That's why this heedless thinking cannot arise. I will describe the whole meditation to you afterwards. Then you can also read the blue book, which I have given to most of you. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, page 14 onward. So, the first training is mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, to keep the five hindrances at bay. Then this will bring about inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness and awareness. And this is the mind that you start with. Yeah. But with inner peace alone, your mind state is not strong. So you need to bring forth inner well-being so that there is this positive energy to replace your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your restlessness of mind, your lack of peace. So this inner well-being, we will develop it through loving kindness, metta. I will combine these two and help you train your mind. Okay, now we can off the light. Yeah? Then I will give you the instruction to train your mind. Okay, those who already know how to meditate, you straight away start. For those who are new, you listen attentively. Yeah? Relax body and mind, completely relax. Maintain attention at your forehead. Yeah? Make sure you have a stable posture. Backbone straight if you can. Then relax every part. Body and mind. Feel yourself completely relaxed. When you are very tired, you just relax. Let go of everything. Feel yourself completely relaxed. Whatever thought that come and remind you of the problems or anything, you talk to the mind. Have mercy on me. Allow me to have this 45 minutes of space to meditate. So that I can be peaceful. Yeah. Whatever you want me to think or dwell in, I will attend to it later. Mm. Then after that, you close your eye, silent everything, and just feel your forehead feel. When you can detect any stress within tightness or uncomfortableness, you just feel and relax them all. All your forehead muscle relax, feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Again, feel, don't think. After a tired day, the eye muscle is really usually very tired, very stressed up. So you feel. Then you relax into it. Whatever tension, whatever tightness, or whatever stress within, feel it. Soothingly relax and relax and relax. So feel it. The entire eye muscle and forehead muscle. Soothingly relax. Then you feel your facial muscles, strip it down. Layer after layer, feel it. Relax into it. Feel your body and mind completely relaxed. Starting with your facial muscle. Relax, relax, and relax. Then in order to help you to relax, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, there is well-being. Then it naturally relaxes your facial muscle without you having to do anything. Then you can radiate loving kindness or metta to bring about inner well-being. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Each and every cell within your body and mind, feel it. Then you can repeat one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be very peaceful, very calm, free from enmity, free from ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can read it the same metta to your loved one, somebody close to you. Can be your parents, your spouse, your children, your good friend, your brothers and sisters, or any loved ones that have affinity with you, that you have gratitude and respect towards them and love them. Then you can read it the same. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them, then read it, this metta to them. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, including all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen within this vicinity, together with all Kayanamitas, our fellow Dhamma friends and meditators who are here, may they all too be well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this metta to all beings within the whole of Selangor, the whole of Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our planet, Mother Earth. Then all beings within the solar system, our galaxy or Milky Way. Then we radiate to all beings throughout the entire existence of the whole universe. May all beings within the entire existence too be well and happy. Feel them having the well-being and happiness. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be free from all negativity, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. There is this inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then you continue with your mind sweeping method. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Feel, don't think, feel. Relax into every mind state, every part of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. By now you should be a lot more relaxed and you can feel it easily. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. And this is a very important location within your body. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is where your heartbeat resides. This is where the seat of consciousness is. It is from this life force that all of consciousness come to be. So you just silence your mind and feel, relax into it, feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. Then you just silence everything and stay there. But if you are new, you cannot, it's okay. You just feel your heart, like you feel your forehead. Then relax into it. Feel it soothingly relax. Every muscle, every part within your heart and chest area. Feel it. Relax, relax, relax. Release and relax all the stress, all the tension, all the lack of peace. Then develop the silence, which is inner peace, leading to the inner well-being. You will feel very good. Then you move it down to your stomach, feel, don't think, just feel, relax into every part. Then you move it to your abdomen, again do the same, feel, relax into every part. Then you move on to your buttock, feel, relax your whole of your leg again, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method. From the leg, you feel, relax into it. Then the buttock, do the same, feel, relax. No need to verbalize, just feel and relax. Then you move your attention up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Like you feel your forehead, you feel. So you sweep it out to your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Then you move it back to your heart, silent everything and just stay there and feel. You can feel the inner peace, the inner vibration. Then you stay there and meditate. If you are not trained, you are not sensitive, you cannot do, then it's okay. You just move on to your shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, feel, relax, then your neck. Then you feel your facial muscles slowly. Feel and relax every strand. Then your eye muscle and your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Yeah. Then you need to stabilize this mind that you have already developed, the inner peace and the inner well-being. To do this, I will teach you another skillful means. We call anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. And it's very easy. It's just like how you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing. You maintain attention in front of your nostril and silence everything and just feel. Then when you detect your breathing, the mind and the breath move as one. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. And this training is very important. Initially, for those who are new, it's not easy, but be patient. After a while, you will learn it. It's easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. Yeah? The only thing you need to remember is relax into every mind state. Every time the mind wanders off, bring your attention back to the breathing. Then the moment you detect the breathing, allow the mind and the breath to move as one without thought. The mind and the breath move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. And that is anapanasati. Then every time it wanders off, bring it back. You can expect this mind to wander off many, many times, but never mind. If you are patient enough, one day it will stabilize. Then when it stabilizes, you will have a lot of joy because a mind that is able to develop this anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath is very peaceful and very calm. Then you will experience what they call piti. Piti is an enlightenment factor. Piti is a spiritual calmness, a spiritual joy born of the mind that is in sati or mindfulness without thought. You will like to meditate after that. When you experience piti, you will experience supreme joy within your mind state. This spiritual joy, spiritual rupture, they will arise and make you very peaceful and very calm. Then you continue to train, relax into it. The piti will become more refined and accumulate into what they call sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss, a very blissful state of very fine, refined state of piti. Then when you experience sukha, you will feel the inner peace leading to the inner joy and the inner bliss. Very, very blissful. Really blissful. And when you experience that, you will like meditation a lot. Yeah. But because sukha is just a mind state, it is impermanent, it comes and it goes. So when it disappears or dissipates, do not attach, do not cling, just maintain attention at the nostril. Develop anapanasati until it's very stable. Then relax into every mind state. Even later on, piti and sukha will become very, very peaceful, very quiet. Then hold of your breathing. Initially, when the mindfulness develops, the breathing will become long breath, very, very long breathing. But you are very mindful and you become very calm, very peaceful, very fast. Then as you relax into it, piti becomes sukha, sukha becomes pasati. Now pasati is the silent mind, the meditative mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is the training that you need to develop. And when your mind develops pasati, which is the silent mind, then you just relax everything and silent, maintain that silence. And that is the meditative mind. And that is the mind that can meditate and understand many, many things. Okay, I will leave it to you to develop the meditation. Then after that, I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner mindfulness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then relax into every part of it. Try to radiate the radiant smile. Always remember to smile. Then you will have more and more joy. Then learn to rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then develop the inner peace, inner mindfulness, inner calmness. Then be attentive. Means every movement, every action, you have to be aware. When you shift your leg, move your hand, blink your eye, turn, stretch, you have to be mindful. To be mindful means body and activity move as one. Body and action move as one. Mind and breath move as one. Means the mind follows the movement. The mind follows the breathing. Follow all your action. That is mindfulness without thought. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will continue with the invocation to the devas. Page 6. I will read you the English invocation so that you understand the meaning. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sukato Kavido Anuttaro Punya Sadhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditadbo Vinohiti Supatthipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Ujjupatthipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Nyāyapatthipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Sāmīcipatthipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Yadidāṁ cattari purisa yukkhane Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaniyo annutarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, now we pay respect Triple Gemma, compose your mind, then you do it. Pitang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, now we will come to the second session. Huh? Second session is meditation reporting. If you got anything to report, and after that you can ask questions regarding the meditation, the teaching, and how to apply this teaching and this meditation to help you develop the understanding of life. And at the same time, to overcome all of your life problem and situation. Yeah. So make full use of this session. Yeah. So now we open it up. Yeah. Anybody got any question or want to report meditation, you can just raise your hand. Yeah. Then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? Oh, you want to report anything? You, how you feel? Ah, oh, first lesson. Pass the mic to the back. Whatever you feel, you just describe it. Then I can help you develop the understanding.
Actually, thank you. You just now you talk about concentrate on your
breathing.
Nose, breathing. I think maybe only a few seconds you can.
I know. Split second, you will be lost in thought. Because
but do you think this is more important part of the meditation?
This is very
focusing
important.
Focusing on your...
No, not focusing. Feel.
Feel.
Your mind feel, like you're breathing. You can feel it in there. Like you blow your air on your hand. You can feel it in there.
Yeah.
The moment you detect the breathing, the mind, which is the awareness, move with the breath. Understand or not? Don't do anything.
I do this normally. I feel okay. This is my nose. This I blow out the air. So in your mind, you imagine that you are. That is the right way, or not?
No, that is the problem. When you imagine the thought come in, that's why I say relax, just silent, feel.
Feel.
What is feel? You haven't read the blue book, huh? When you feel the floor hot or cold, how do you feel?
So you feel the action.
Wait. You feel the floor at the back there. Yes. Got any towels there or not, where you can feel?
Very, your senses. Yeah,
very cold one, huh? Yeah. So you put your hand down there. You put your hand down there. Okay. Can you feel?
Yeah.
Ah, hot or cold, you can feel that. When you feel, there is no thought. Correct?
Yeah.
But when you are thinking, you cannot feel. You are not sensitive. Understand? Huh? You feel again. Don't think, feel. because that coldness will make you aware of the coldness. And when you are aware of your coldness, you don't think. That is what mindfulness is all about. When you are just aware, no thought, that is mindfulness. Then you become very calm, very peaceful. Otherwise, your hindrance cannot go away. That's why you feel relaxed. You don't go and think. Don't go and imagine. Don't go and focus. Don't go and concentrate. That one is another type of meditation. Mm. Energy field. That one, it will develop something else. But this one will make you very calm, very peaceful, very fast. You just silent and feel. Just aware. Don't try to know.
Feel that you are breathing.
No, just feel. Like you blow your air. You can feel the air coming to your hand, is that? But when you breathe naturally, this in and out breath is always there. But you are never aware because you are lost in thought. That's why split second, your attention cannot be there already because you are not trained. And you are not the only person. All of beginner, this one wander off many, many times. And they write in the book, expect it to wander off at least a million times before your training is successful. But those who are good, if you have done it in the past life, you have done this before, straight away you sit within 10 minutes, you will become very calm, very peaceful. Now that is, you have done it before in the past. Like a children, a kid, if they are talented in certain music, or let's say piano or organ, the moment the kid see this piano, hear the music, he will know how to play already. This one is what they inherit from their past. That's why they are very talented. Then some see the chessboard, they like to play with it. Then some see something that they have trained very well in the past. Very fast, they will understand. Like this line, the moment I hear the teaching, no need people explain what I understand straight away. So this is what training skill is all about. When you train until you become very proficient in it, very skillful in it.
What's the best environment for the training?
The best one because you play badminton. You play badminton. When you are very skillful, what happened to your stroke? You no need to think on it. Spontaneous, you execute very fast, and you will go already. That's why it's very effective. But when you start to train, you very lunchun one. The shuttlecock sometimes also miss. Then when you hit, also no strength on yourself. Then you cannot control the shuttlecock. You cannot direct it. The training of the mind is the same. You train until when you want your mind to be silent, it's silent. When you want it to be peaceful, it's peaceful. Just like in badminton. You want to send the shuttlecock baseline, you will go baseline. You want to lob baseline, you will go baseline. You want to smash, you want to drop, means you are very skillful. Understand? You train very well already. How you want to return the shot?
For what I mean by for beginner like me?
It's the same, like badminton. Beginner, that time, how you try? Regular practice. Understand? That's why you must spend more time. Every day morning when you wake
up. You need morning better time.
When you wake up.
Everything.
Because very peaceful. Morning, very quiet. But too early you cannot. So you try to rest first, sleep. Then when you are fresh, means when you can rest very well, when you wake up, you are very fresh. You are not tired. And you don't need that much sleep if you know how to rest your mind and body. Then when you wake up, the first thing you do is to maintain awareness of your body posture so that the thought won't come. Then you feel. On the lying down posture, you're aware. Then how you come out on the bed, that movement, that activity. When you are aware, you cannot think. But initially, because of your habitual tendency, what happened to you immediately when you wake up? All the thought will come in, isn't it? Then you try to look for your whatever thing, speck or what. Then you want to go toilet. How you get out also you are not aware. How you walk and how you go into a toilet also you are completely not aware at all. You just want to do the business. Then relieve. Then as you sit and answer nature's call, you think a lot all over the thought. Why are you that way? Because this is the way you live your life. So this is the way you have developed all this habitual thinking. Whereas those who meditate and train their mind, they don't behave like that. When they wake up, they are fresh. They are aware. They have clarity. Their mind is very quiet, peaceful. Then they are aware of the body. Then how I arise on the bed. The whole movement, body and mind as one. Then how I turn. How I move the blanket out. Then how I stand. I fully aware. My mind doesn't think. Then I walk. Body and mind as one. Then how my hand move and open the doorknob, push it. Then how it goes in. How it unzip and do all this nature's call. It's fully aware. Then how you sit. And how you go about doing your thing. Then even brushing your teeth. How your hand, the movement, the mind and the hand move and take that toothbrush. You're fully aware. Then how you get the toothpaste, open up, put the paste, then how you brush. You're fully aware. Most people, I think including you, you don't even know how you do all those things. You are never aware, seldom. Then sometimes when you brush, sometimes you get the wrong toothpaste also, you don't know. There are a lot of people, as they do all these things, they think a lot, they worry a lot. Oh, office, need to do this, need to do that, after that, I have to go here, I have to go there. Means your thought is proliferating all over. That's why this is habitual. This is hindrance. That worry, the anxiety, that heedless thinking. And you will come to realize all these are non-beneficial thinking. That's why it's called heedless thinking. And you know Mandarin. That's why they say, 妄想, false thinking. The heedless thinking, not fruitful one, not important one, that brings about remembrance that condition your anxiety, your fear, your excitement, or make you worry on a lot of things you have to attend and you have to do. That's why when you project your thought, that fear trigger off. Then when you worry, the anxiety come in. So all this is how habitual tendency develop. Then it condition you to become what you are. So meditation is to reverse all this so that you don't behave like that. Because when you go through that, you will experience what you are experiencing now. The lack of peace, the agitated state. Then when your mind is like that, without clarity, lack of peace, you are not efficient because you think a lot, you worry a lot. You are not calm, you are not peaceful, there is no clarity. You don't have the directed clarity or energy to make good decision and to solve problem. That's why most of the time you have this worry, anxiety. And you are not clear with what you want to do. You only do those habitual thinking which you are used to. And all those decisions will actually make you unhappy, angry. That's why you will come out with those typical way where you think you have to scold people, you have to direct all this and to get things done. But when you have clarity, awareness and understanding, you can understand everyone is different and different people can be motivated to do things in a different way. And then you start to understand human behavior. Then you start to understand your own mind, other people's mind. They are like you. Under pressure, they also got fear, worry, anxiety. And all these are nature's law. They got karmic hit back. So if you want to have peace and harmony within the office, you yourself must have peace, have harmony within. Then your staff will have peace and harmony within. Then all this, they will start to transform the office. Then it will touch each and every staff. But if everybody is like heedless, excited and all those things, then the whole office will become like that. So life is the same. When we train our mind becomes different. So for your case, you are starting it anew. So it's not easy. It will take a while. Maybe within a week or two, if you regularly cultivate and practice, it will bring forth very good result and you can see it happening very fast. then within a month, you can maintain this training, you become very different. Then you will start to experience more and more of the inner peace, inner well-being, inner joy, inner happiness. Then your habitual tendency, the old way of doing things, they will slowly, slowly dissipate. Then you can compare the two states after you have come to the understanding. One leads to so much negativity, so much misery, suffering, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the insecurity, the panic and all those things. The other one leads to so much clarity, so much peace, so much understanding. Then that mind is very different. That mind is very productive, very efficient, can solve problems, has clarity to understand many, many things, and can make very good and clear decisions. That is what the mental training is all about. Then later on, you use it to develop wisdom, to insight into phenomena. That one is the teaching aspect. That one later. You must train this mind first. If the mind is not trained, it cannot insight into phenomena. It cannot develop the understanding of the teaching. The teaching has a lot more thing than just training the mind. Training the mind is just the initial step. It's just like in Kung Fu. They ask you to what? Zat ma. You call what in English? Kya bepo. What you call in English? You train yourself. You say you learn how to zat ma. Stun. The horse stun. You have to stabilize that stun. That is the basis of Kung Fu. If you are not stable, you cannot have the good training. Then you cannot defend yourself because people can easily attack you and make you fall. But when you are very stable, you are able to defend yourself very well and you can be very skillful. Meditation is different. It's not about this physical thing. Meditation is about the mind. That's why you train your mind. You don't train your marble. You train your mind. When your mind is peaceful, there is clarity. Then when the mind is peaceful, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. Because the mind that is peaceful and aware, there is no thought. That's why without thought, like what I wrote here, we have to train our mind to be heedful. So this heedfulness is very important. Heedfulness got two parts. First, you train this mind. That's why you have to train this mind until it's ever mindful. To be mindful is just the beginning. Ever mindful means throughout the day you are aware, mindful most of the time, without thought. Then you use this mind to meditate, to develop the meditative understanding, the wisdom, to understand yourself, to understand your thought process, to understand clearly who you are, what you are. Then through your own self-knowledge, you can understand the world. You can understand others. Then you will know how to live. Then you will see clearly the nature's law that governs life and existence, how they interact, and how they condition living beings into suffering and misery. Then you will understand the meaning of the teaching. The first spiritual law that is very obvious to all living beings is the law of karma, the law of cause and effect. They call it the moral causation. It's not the physical cause and effect. Physical law of Newton, that one is physical law. This one is a spiritual law involving the mental intention, moral causation. So when you arise a mental intention, if your intention is not pure, not wholesome, has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then it becomes evil, the thought. Then the evil thought will condition evil action, speech, and thought process. Then it will condition negative karma. That's how living beings get into trouble, because they entangle themselves, they violate the physical law and the spiritual law of nature. So all this, you will start to understand only when you develop your mind, train your mind, have mindfulness. Without this, you become heedless. You think a lot. So when you are heedless, there is no clarity, there is no peace, no silence, no stillness of mind. That's why you have to train this mind to be mindful. Then after you have trained, you have to stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then when you are ever mindful, sati becomes samadhi, like here. Mindfulness becomes collected and unwavering. That's how meditation begins. So this is the first step. Then after that, when you are without thought means the awareness without is content. You don't input anything, you don't think. When you don't think, there is no fear. There is no worry, no anxiety, because you don't project your thought. But the moment you think, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation come about through your wrong view. Because your wrong view will condition you to react with fear, worry, anxiety. Because you believe this is you. You believe there is a person inside there doing all these things. The human being is real. There is such a thing as a human being, the Buddha said. Each and every one of us has this physical body and this mind. They call this the human being, or the five aggregate of form and mind. But the Buddha said, this is not you. This one is the karmically conditioned out form and mind for you to use in this life, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But you don't know how to use this body and mind because you don't have this understanding of the teaching. You will use it wrongly. It's just like the analogy. Yeah? The human being is similar to your car and your driver. In the situation of your car and the driver, you can see the two entities different. The car is the car, the driver is the driver. The driver direct and drive the car. In the case of a human being, the mind direct this body to move. Understand? That's why when you have mental intention, you say walk, it walk. So ability to command and control this body doesn't mean the body belongs to you, like the car and the driver. Ability to control and command the car to move. You want to speed, it's speed. You want to brake, you want to turn, you want to maneuver it. The driver can do it. But that driver is not the car. Understand? You must see the two different. But what happens if the driver do not follow traffic rule? Simply drive the car, bang here, bang there, red light also cross. The car will get damaged, get into trouble. That driver is like your mind. If that mind don't follow traffic rule, which is society's law, but the mind follows spiritual law. So if you violate spiritual law like you violate society's law, that car get into trouble. That's why people who abuse their body, because this mind has craving, has desire, has love, lust, has habit. So they will do all the vices. They will do all those whatever that bring about downfall. So the mind that doesn't understand will do all this. That's why it will bring about negativity of condition that will trigger off their downfall. And this is what karma is all about. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So when a person does not train their mind, this problem will arise. So spiritual teaching is about the mind. Physical teaching is about materialistic world. So when you understand this analogy, you choose take care of mind. You have to train this mind. Otherwise, suffering will keep on arising. The negativity of mind state will keep on arising. But the mind that don't understand, deluded, will be afflicted, will have problem. So meditation is about training this mind to understand all this so that you see the stupidity of doing all those heedless things. The danger of being heedless, lack of mindfulness, the mind that has got no clarity, no mindfulness, no awareness, without the spiritual faculty, is full of hindrance. When you are full of hindrance, you become miserable, you become afflicted. Fear, worry, anxiety will make you restless most of the time. This one is lack of peace. Whereas when you are mindful, when you have the faith, when you are in the state of samadhi and you have wisdom and understanding, your mind is always very peaceful, very calm, non-reactive. And you understanding very well, and there is so much joy inside, inner peace, leading to inner well-being. And all these are possible only when you have developed the understanding to train your mind in this way. So coming back to your question, initially you find it very difficult to be even aware of this breathing, correct or not? Because when you try to focus, split second is gone, then the thought come in. So what you do? When it wanders off, what you do? Bring it back. Be patient. Don't fight. You tell yourself, I have not trained my mind. The untrained mind is heedless. It will wander off. It will do all these things. So like badminton, when we start, we are not skillful yet. Understand? You off the mic. Push it down. Otherwise, it will cause distortion. Okay. Oh, no. Push down some more. Haven't pushed down. Push down all the way. Okay, ready. Thanks. So you see, like badminton, when we start, we are very cumbersome, very crude. Sometimes our holding or racket also not stable. Then you want to serve, you have no control over the shuttlecock. That's why initially the untrained skill is like that. But after you train, you can decide where you want to send the shuttlecock, how you want to play the game. Then when you are very skillful, you become very good at it. The mind is the same. You have to train until you are in command. Not what the thought tell you what to do. In the past, when you are heedless, the thought control you. The thought project and make you miserable, fearful, worry. But these are not reality. Anasana. This is what your thought tell you. The thought will say, tomorrow deadline. Die already. Or you already have this disease. Doctor confirm. What are you going to do? This is what the thought will tell you. If you allow the thought to have power to mislead you and project, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Especially health. A lot of people has a lot of fear. Fear of death. Fear of traumatic disease and all those things. Then they feel very insecure. And all this actually, before they know about the case or before the doctor tell them what happened, they are actually very happy, enjoying life. Understand? Then all of a sudden, one day they go and do the blood test, then the doctor say, very likely got this problem. Then they go and do a biopsy or whatever to confirm. Wow, during that 1 week before the result come out, I tell you, you face a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. You couldn't have any moment of peace unless you have the understanding of your mind, unless you can develop that understanding so that you can still be at peace to confront whatever. The reality is the reality, and that is more important. What the thought tell you is not important. Asana. This moment, if I choose to be peaceful, I will be peaceful. How come I am not peaceful? You have to ask that question. Why am I not peaceful? Why am I not happy? It's because you think there is this thought that project and trigger off the fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Without this thought, you are very peaceful. But human being will say, that is my problem, no. If I don't solve this problem, I get into trouble, no. Logical or not? Logical, eh? Correct or not? Because you say it's your problem, eh? So like this one, Let's say this is your problem. So your problem will make you miserable, eh? So it's like something very hot. Burn you, torment you. Then what you do? You continue to hold, it will continue to burn you and torment you. Correct? Right? So what must you do? Put it down. When you put it down means what? You are not holding on to it. Means like your thought. You are not holding on to your thought. You are not worrying about it. Understand or not? Then it ceases to have power over you. Understand or not? Then you ask yourself, what is my problem? Then you look at reality. Understand or not? You have nothing to do with the thought already. Understand or not? The reality is, when I put it down without that thought, it does not burn me, it does not torment me. I have clarity. Understand or not? Then I look. What is the real problem? Then I write it down. Then I ask myself, what are my options? How can I move? How can I resolve this amicably? And now I focus on solving the problem. I don't get disturbed by the thought. Understand or not? I don't have to suffer anymore. Understand or not? Because these are realities of life and existence. Not only I have to confront. Every living being that live life long enough will have to confront getting old, getting sick, and one day die. Understand or not? The realities of life and existence, the first noble truth reality, you have to encounter life's reality, separation, through death, through divorce, and all those things, business failure. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when you got health problem, relationship problem, financial problem, career problem, police case, and the various type of life problem, children's problem, in-laws problem. Not only you alone affected in this world, everybody has to confront when they go through life. The difference between a person who suffer and a person who don't suffer is the person who suffer don't understand. Allow the thought to project and has power over him, then torment him and make him miserable. So when you hold on to the thought and say, this is my problem, I have to solve it, you are dead already. Because you allow the thought to have power to burn you and torment you. Because this is hot. Burning. Hot. So it will burn you and torment you. When you hold on to the thought or the problem and try to solve it, you are burning yourself and tormenting yourself with the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That's why you cannot move. You become miserable. You become afflicted. But if you put it down, means what? I don't hold on to that thought. I don't allow that thought to tell me all those stupid things. The projection and all those things. Enough. Finish. Now, reality? Okay. Doctor maybe say, got cancer. Third stage, fourth stage. So, if this is the reality, I got two choices. React to it and become miserable. Which most living beings do. Project the thought, develop the fear, then don't know what to do. Then worry about impending death and all those things. Then you worry about the medical bill. Then you worry about what happens if your spouse comes to know, your loved one comes to know. Then you work for people worse. What happened? My company come to know. They will retrench me. They will ask me to leave. So all this fear is still not a reality. You know, your thoughts projection, you know, but it has such power over you and it makes you so miserable. And meditation is to be aware of all this, to see all this. Then you ask yourself, my life, I have a choice. I hold the key to my own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable or fearful is my choice. If I know how to choose, I will choose to be happy, choose to be peaceful. Then I will be peaceful. I will be happy. Then why am I not happy? Why is most living being not happy? So fearful, so afflicted, with so much suffering. It's because they don't have this teaching. They don't understand this teaching. They don't train their mind. They don't know how to look at things. When you look at things and focus on the solution, not on the problem, not argue about it, not worry about it, not allowing the thought to project, then you can solve the problem very easy. But this is a reality everybody has to go through. If this body goes the way of nature, like the Buddha said, it will grow old, get sick, and one day die. Not only me, everybody go through the same. So like I say, you got two choices. React to it and become miserable. Second choice, accept that reality and be at peace. Oh, that is easier, isn't it? then what you do? Then the problem is still there. Let's say cancer. Then you tell yourself, if this is what has been told to me, I have another option. I accept this reality at peace, then I ask for solution. People who have gone through this for advice. Then I talk to people, they say, hey, you better do a second opinion, see another specialist. Oh, then check it out again. Or the other specialist, which is more experienced and understand, which I have seen it happening to many people, including our classmate King Kong. He got the story to tell you when you go to the dinner. He recently, the daughter's marriage, you know, he landed in Subang, Sunway Specialist Center. You know what happened to him? He got this slip disc, the vertebra. I tell you, first time he experienced hell, is it? Last time when I tell him about this OA sickness and that, he said, I don't talk about this. He said, talk about something else. Or now he said, we must talk more about this. Getting old, getting sick and die. These are reality. But he said, first time he realized life can be so artificial. You know? He was doing so well. He was so healthy. You know? Go to gym, do everything. You know? And he was so successful in life. You know? Human being, materialistically, he has done very well. Then all of a sudden, the daughter's marriage that day, a few days before that, he got this slip disc thing. Then it was so severe, he landed in the hospital. He met the first two specialists. They gave the wrong advice. They are good. They are specialists in their own field. But I don't know whether it was Sui An or who gave the analogy very good. No? He said, if your door got problem, you go and see a civil engineer, what he tell you? Oh, change the hinge, your hinge problem. No, that one is different later. That electrical engineer, different. He said, hey, put automatic one, sliding one. No problem with the hinge. So this one, another solution. Then mechanical guy come. Better still, he will sell to you all the very fantastic mechanical system. He said, now you don't have to worry about anything. Everything is automatic, mechanical. Then cannot break in, death-proof and everything. So he got the same case. The first one they analyze, tell him to do physio and all those things. The more he do, the worse he become. But that specialist is supposed to be very good. And he said, 7 out of 10 recover. And yet he was not one of the 7 out of 10. Then after that, he suggested, another specialist. I think this one is specialized in nerve one. So inject. And when they inject, worse. Never recover, cannot even move inside that. Then he said, cannot be. He said, okay, I do another one. Then he come that morning, sit in front of him, and say, okay, you move, you turn. Then he turned. He said, tremendous pain. Now I know already, he said. I got it wrong. I inject the wrong one, he said. Now I think I know which one already. Then he inject and he said, I will wait here for 2 hours to see your response. Again, doesn't work. I tell you. And he was like a what they call vegetable, no. He cannot even go toilet and urine, no. He cannot even walk up, no. Because he's very, very heavy. Then you know what happened? They say, there is a specialist. Another one, very famous one, from Penang one. Luckily, he Chong Ling one, no, president, no. Actually, is his senior, the Chong Ling guy. I think 4 years his senior. He called him. This Chong Ling guy very good. Middle of the night, you know. He just came back from overseas. Then he called him. Then because he was the president, he was also from Chong Ling. So he talked to KK, our classmate. I told him, he said, okay, he said, I will see you, but not now. Now, midnight, I cannot do anything also. So tomorrow morning, I see you. He was so surprised. Tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. In his room. You see, thank you, thank you. He cannot move. Then he asked him, what happened to you. Then he described. Then he showed him the x-ray, everything. Then he looked. You know what he told him or not? To me, this is bread and butter. I have done a lot of this type of surgery, is it? Not a problem at all. You don't have to go through all these things. Then he looked at him now. Then he said, how? Now you're under another doctor, I cannot do anything. Then he said, what must I do? He said, you must talk to that doctor and discharge. Like professional engineer, consultant, I must discharge first, then only take over the job. Correct or not? Must discharge the first one first. Medical doctor also same. And he talked to that doctor. Luckily, same specialty center. They agree. Then that morning, by the time he discussed with him, 8 o'clock, he said, what must I do? I have to do a surgery on you straight away. And he said, safe or not? He said, I already told you bread and butter. He said, I have done more than 1,000. So far, no problem. Not a single case. No problem. See, opinion can be so different. Then after that, luckily, the theater was empty. Then last night, luckily, he didn't eat. No, he fasted. Then can operate. Then when he operated at 9 o'clock, by the time he finished, it was 12 o'clock, he has a flight to take at 2 o'clock, the doctor. Straight away after surgery, didn't even talk to KK, he fly off. Oh, luckily, he recovered. This surgeon was very good. Oh, so you must get the right surgeon, right advice. Otherwise, panic. Like he said, for 1 week, it was like hell. That's why he want to talk about getting old, getting sick and dying. That is what life is all about. Without the Dhamma, you cannot understand all this. You will have fear. You will panic. You don't know what to do. You become miserable. Yeah. And after that, he got to go to the recuperation. No? Then that night, he managed to come on the wheelchair to the daughter's wedding. No? We were there. He was a very good friend of mine, very close friend. So we talked. Then I visited him with Phuk Chai at the hospital. That's why he was so happy, grateful, is it? But before that, is it? It's better for you all not to visit me, because he was hell. He got no mood to see anybody. That's why he didn't let anybody know until he almost recovered. Then after he recovered, every day still in the hospital. No, oh, he called me. He talked about this type of thing. Then later on, after he discharged, he was very happy. And then now this Wednesday, next Wednesday, you coming or not? Oh, not coming. You can hear his story, you come. He will tell you all the story. So, life is just like that. Like what he said, can be so fragile. Despite your wealth, your success, overnight, it can just become like that. Like so fragile. Then from there, he start to understand that you cannot take life for granted anymore. You have to be very careful, he said. We have to share information. So like meditation, you have to share information. Those who understand, they will share with you. But it's up to you, whether you want to learn it and understand it or not. Because it is something so useful. It's like that surgeon say, to him it's bread and butter. So to me, meditation is easier than bread and butter. So it's the same. But when you're skilled in it, when you understand, there is no problem at all. Like all this so-called suffering and problem to me is so clear. There is no problem. The problem lies in your own delusion, your own lack of understanding, your own inability to train this mind. When you understand, you can train this mind, you are so beautiful. That's why you are the Buddha. You have this Buddha nature within you. Each and every one of us, we have the same potential and possibility to become Sammasambuddha. Our mind state can be like him. Not a problem at all. But why are most living beings' mind state not like that? Because they don't have this teaching. And they don't understand this teaching. And very few people can develop the understanding and cultivate. You are only serious when you come to confront life, when you confront suffering and really get afflicted by it, and then you will turn to it. Then you will appreciate this teaching. Then you will have a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha for coming out with this understanding and share with the world for free. And that is the only free lunch I realized. Everything charge money. This one, no consultancy fee. So when you understand, you will approach a problem differently. You will not allow the thought to project and to torment you. Because thought, when it takes control of you, it actually torments you and causes you a lot of affliction and suffering. Because that is what delusion is all about, self-delusion, sakkayaditti. When you don't understand thought, it has power over the living being. But when you understand thought, it loses its power. Like yesterday, remember, I shared with you, it's only a thought. Now I ask you again, how come it has such power to make living beings so miserable, so fearful? It's only a thought, isn't it? What is a thought? Arise, pass away. If you don't give it power, this thought got no power over you, understand or not? But because you hold on to it, you project it, allow it to project, and condition you to have fear. That is stupidity. Just a thought has such power over you. It's just like you allow your own thought to have power to control you and make you so miserable. Then just like the Buddha said, if it's a thought that arises within your own body and mind for you to use, then use it correctly. Use it appropriately, like the Buddha said. Use it to arise the right thought to the right understanding and the right view. Not to arise the wrong thought. Wrong thought means what? Thought that project and condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, and your... And these are wrong thought. Don't go and waste time on it. Don't go and dwell in it. Don't go and develop more and more habitual tendency to think that way. Then you become miserable. Can understand? Just like that day you say, you know that these are wrong thoughts, make you miserable. But your answer is, what can I do? I cannot do. It's not you cannot do, because you don't have the understanding yet, because that is your habitual tendency. You have been reacting to life and dealing with problems in that way. That's why it keeps on coming back to haunt you. Yeah, you give it power to do it to you. You cannot see that thought. It's just a consciousness and its content that arise and pass away. Thought is impermanent. That's why when you see the impermanence of thought, you will not allow thought to have such power over you. Thought is for you to use. Means like a tool, T-O-O-L. Then I use it like a knife. How should I use it? Your wife will know. Nina will know. You cut vegetable, you cut fruit, you shape whatever thing you want with it, then you use it appropriately. But if you use that knife wrongly, what happens? You cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, hit out at others. That is the wrong way of using that knife, isn't it? A human being is precisely using their thought wrongly that way. You think means you use that tool to think the wrong thought. Then that wrong thought condition you and become and make you become so miserable, full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. And that is the wrong way of using thought. It's like you're cutting yourself, hurting yourself, making yourself miserable through the thought. That is stupidity. So when you see this very clearly, how can you do this to yourself? Means you don't love yourself. If you love yourself, you will not allow this thing to happen. Like you love your children, your son, your daughter. What happened? You will go all out to protect them, to make sure that they are free from harm and suffering. Likewise, if you love yourself, you will not allow anything to harm yourself and hurt yourself. Understand? But because you don't love yourself, that's why you allow your thought to harm yourself and hurt yourself. And you are so foolish because you cannot see this. But when this is made clear to you through the teaching, you will wake up. All along, I have been so foolish. I will never allow this to happen again. Yeah. And this one cannot you cannot develop the understanding overnight. You have to develop the clarity of mind through training this mind, through meditation, through more and more moment of silence and inner peace. Then when the spiritual faculty is there, then one day it will understand by itself. And the moment it understands, there is no more heading back to the old way. Yeah. It's just like you see very clearly, black and white. One lead to suffering and misery, heedlessness. One lead to such beautiful mind state, heedfulness, clarity, inner peace, inner well-being, joy, happiness. Then which will you choose? Very easy to choose. Nobody want to choose to become unhappy and miserable. But you look at the world. How come so many human beings and living beings are suffering? You mean they don't know how to choose? No. If they understand this teaching, they will know how to choose. But because they don't have this teaching, they don't understand this teaching. That's why they never train their mind. They never develop this wisdom. That's why they every time make the wrong decision and wrong choice. They choose, but they choose wrongly. They choose to believe the thought. They choose to continue to think like that, worry about life. No amount of worry, fear, and anxiety can solve your problem. Your problem can only be solved when you have clarity, when you are at peace, when you put it down, when you don't hold on to it, when you don't allow the thought to do all those projections that trigger off fear, worry, anxiety. When there is no fear, worry, anxiety, what happens to your mind? Restlessness ceases to be. That's why you must train your mind to have more and more moments of peace, calmness, so that all this wrong thought, negative thought will not arise. That's why when you train to develop this ability to be silent, peaceful, mindful, then the clarity will arise. Then you can look at every situation in life with clarity, with understanding. Then just ask two questions. How can I move? What are my options? Then the third question is very important. How can I resolve this amicably so that nobody get hurt, nobody get harmed? Win-win situation, so that no negative karma, so in future I don't have to pay back. Understand? And that one is very important. That's why you resolve issue. You focus on problem, but you don't go and worry about problem. You focus on resolving problem. Through what? Through understanding, through clarity of mind, through wisdom, through love, through faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So all this is what the teaching is all about. When you have this understanding, all of the wholesomeness of mind state will arise. All of this negative mind state of fear, worry, anxiety, envy, jealousy, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, all will disappear. They will fade away. So all this, if you understand, you can make a big difference to your life. Then you can actually benefit from all this. Then your life can take a turn. And you become beautiful. Then life becomes meaningful, wonderful. Then it's no more like normal human being. Every day rushing here and there. Worry about this. Worry about that, planning about this, planning about that, try to solve this, try to solve that, try to do all these things. Why can't you just understand life and live life? Finish. Don't have to worry about life. There is so much beauty in life, understand? There is so much thing that can make you happy, peaceful. There is so much thing that can allow you to be a blessing to all, to your loved ones, to society, to living beings, to the environment. Yeah. And there is so much joy in doing wholesomeness and doing good as opposed to getting angry, developing all the anger, the hatred, the misery. All this arises through what? Through your wrong thought, wrong view, because you are so conditioned to react and make yourself miserable. Because when you don't like that person, what happens? You hate that person. When you hate that person, means what? The evil root is in you, understand? Not? The hatred, the evil root. Hatred. So when there is this hatred, you become evil. It's a poison. It kills you spiritually. That's why the Hitlers are as if dead. Spiritually dead. No chance. That's why when you forgive, you free yourself. Understand? Not? When you forgive somebody, means what? You don't hate him anymore. Means you root out your anger, your hatred towards that person. And when this evil root goes out of your body, you free yourself. Understand? Not? It's just like the poison, the evil root release. And this is how you live life. That's why I have love. Learn to forgive. Learn to be good to people, kind to people. Learn to have more and more of this gratitude, contentment, kindness, gentleness, sincerity. A lot of wholesomeness can arise when you understand the Dhamma. Then you can rejoice in everything. Then whatever that happened, always remember one thing. Whatever that happened in life, don't react and become miserable. Be at peace with it first. Learn to smile at it. Laugh at it. Okay, happened already. Okay. Cannot. Even pending death. My teacher used to tell me, you must learn how to smile at the dead. Before you die, you can laugh at the death. Cannot, is it? That's why he said you must learn how to die before you die. You don't know how to die before you die. You will have a lot of fear when you are approaching death. Because you don't know what will happen. Who died, what died, don't know. After death, what happened? We got a very cute case of one Kayamita telling us a story. He said, the husband said, I love you so much. When I die, even I become ghost, I still want to protect you. Oh, I got such good husband. But the wife very scared. Don't come near me. Stay far away from me. So all this is what life is all about. So when you don't understand, there is so much fear. Then the question is, because you don't understand, who say you die already, you become ghost? Who is that ghost? That's why they don't understand. And who died? The Buddha said, no one died. No one sick. No one old. Actually, no one born. And when you have this penetrative understanding of Heart Sutta, you got no more problem in life. Whatever happened to this form and mind, the world, no problem. Thing is just the way it is. Not so real. Nature's law. Arise and pass away, dependent originating. He know you, he know me. When you have that understanding, you are completely without fear. Your mind is completely liberated. Then you understand what life is all about. Then you understand true emptiness is wonderful existence. Then life becomes meaningful, wonderful. And everything will just fall into place. That's why with this understanding and this wisdom, like the Buddha says, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. You only need to cultivate this teaching. There's no way for power. Train your mind and you become so different. And it's not difficult. Nowadays, the consciousness is very beautiful. The condition is very conducive. And it can be done. And it can happen very, very fast. You must have faith. You must have sincerity. You must persevere. Don't try to know. Just go and do. Okay? Oh, another 5 minutes. Okay. Any more questions? Pass the mic to Phyllis. Come. Oh, sorry, just now you were holding the mic. I remember you want to ask. Come, pass the mic. I heard Suyan say this is the first time you are here.
First time.
Oh, good.
First of all, thank you for spending an evening with us.
Oh, okay. I've been doing this here for the last 7 years. Coming to 7 years.
No, because I feel happy, that's why.
There is joy. Good.
I would like to split into two parts.
Okay, very good.
The first part is my description.
Okay.
And then the second part is my question.
Ah, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
my,
no problem.
My description may be a bit funny, lah, but yeah, I just want to share. Actually, I sort of resonate well with what you mentioned just now, because
yeah.
I experienced it.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So, like, last time, a few months ago, I actually learned how to meditate on my own will.
Ah, very good.
So, when you shared about, like, how do you actually clarify between problems and your thoughts
yeah,
and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I can actually
relate to it.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
very good.
The testimonial is that I feel much better and happier.
Oh, good,
yeah,
good,
so
good.
But just now was very different.
Mm.
I'm still very new, but I actually follow your instruction.
Oh, very good.
But I grabbed it very fast, lah.
Oh,
say.
Very good.
And then Sato. When you stop
for meditation.
Yeah, when you stop giving instruction already,
you feel sleepy.
No, I don't feel sleepy.
Oh, that's very good.
I feel very. This is the thing I want to share. What I feel is, I feel relaxed.
Oh, very good.
Okay.
Oh, very good. Means you follow the instruction.
Yeah, I follow exactly.
Oh, then you are very relaxed and very peaceful and little thought.
Yeah, and then there are no thoughts.
Yeah, no thought is the best. First time no thought, very good.
Yeah, first time no thought.
You have your past.
Yeah,
you have
so
your past.
The thing is,
because here the energy is very different.
Yeah.
You become very peaceful without thought very fast.
I just tell my mind, shut up.
Yeah, yeah, don't try to know. Otherwise the thought will start again.
So I just tell.
Very good, very good.
But then when I start to relax, my body press,
I know, move forward.
Not move forward, but relax, like really, like something.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Yeah,
means
so
you feel really relaxed.
Yeah.
Very
but,
good.
But then I feel pain over my, but then again, like what you say, you just know, but you don't rise the thought.
Yeah.
So again, I don't have the thought.
Correct, very good. You know why? When you feel pain, pain is an aversion. You will dislike uncomfortable feeling, understand? The moment you label it, luckily you didn't label it, you just let it be. Understand not? That's why this hindrance doesn't arise. But the moment you label it, the mind hold on to it, pain, means an aversion, you want to push it away. Then it become a negative craving. This will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why you cannot have the calmness and the peace. But because you let it be, you ignore it, you didn't allow the thought to take power over you. That's why you can come to terms with it. Then you develop mindfulness. That's why you got no thought. Then you develop the peace, the clarity, the joy. Then you can relax very easily. That is what meditation is all about. So relaxation is very important. Okay? Yeah, very good. Sadhu.
But then towards the end, this is a bit funny. Lah. I find it very shy, but...
Never mind. Nothing is funny.
Actually, when towards the end, actually, I don't know whether it's supposed to feel that way, but just now when I meditate, I... no thoughts.
Yeah.
No time.
Wow, sadhu. Very good.
But then I also got no feel. Meaning I feel like...
You don't feel your body.
I don't feel my body.
Oh, very good. You are in the... what they call... arupa... mind state. The formless consciousness. That's why you cannot perceive your form. Yeah.
And
very
then
good.
Lastly, before you ring the bell, I see something. I actually see this statue meditate in front of me.
Yeah.
So
very good.
I don't know what it,
very good.
What it means.
Very good. You have affinity with the Buddha.
So that's my description.
Yeah,
so I actually
good.
See very near.
Yes.
Even nearer than...
Yes,
yeah,
very clear. Like otherwise, very you cannot have this experience because you have past affinity with the Buddha. And this is... the affinity that can only manifest when there is condition. That's why today your coming is not due to accident or by chance. It's meant to be. Because I heard from Sui An, you one day deliver some drink to the temple, you want to make the offering to the monk. Then because you are so sincere, you have so much joy, and you are so generous. Then Sui An say, the monk all not around. Never mind, pass to you, you offer to the monk. And with that understanding and that joy, you just trust you and you just go. Then after that, how you include him in the Thursday class? The WhatsApp. Then suddenly your name appear.
Yeah.
Then he told you there's a talk tomorrow. Tiratana clang. Yeah? Tiratana bird. I know. He say he's going to be, you send the waste to him.
Yeah.
Then he say, maybe you say blessing in this guy, yeah? Because of that kind thought and that kind deed. Yeah? There is condition for him to listen. Tomorrow's talk is very interesting.
Yeah.
Understanding awareness with every moment of in-breath you take and every arising of thought and every movement and action within the present moment.
Yeah, so
that
my question
is the real meditation.
Just now, I don't know whether I do wrong or not, because I do, when I look around, people are like very stable.
Never mind, you let the body do what it did.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, different people different. I got another Kayanamita. You know when she meditates, her whole body and head touch the ground.
Yeah. I almost
But it's fully aware.
Yeah.
That's why the important is aware, not your posture. Mm. Posture can be anything. As long as you are aware, mindful, you can be in a lying down posture, standing posture, sitting posture, or whatever posture, even in the midst of activity, when you are walking, when you are running, when you are bathing, when you are swimming, when you are playing games, badminton or whatever, you can be mindful. That is meditation. The moment you are mindful and heedful, you are in a meditative state. So that is a good one. So just let it be. Don't go and check with people and compare. Wow, other people don't do one. I know. No, because there is this tendency of human behavior, you know what they do. Not commonly accepted or done. You feel very odd, no? How come I'm the only one doing this? Am I doing it wrong? So what is that? That is doubt. When there is doubt, you got no more confidence. But when you have confidence, you don't doubt. You tell yourself, as long as I am sincere, if I have the faith, if I persevere, everything I do will be accordance with the nature's law. Means part of the way meant to be. Because you got no negativity. You got no selfishness. You got no fear. You got no doubt. Then everything will go your way. Yeah. But when you have this fear, worry, doubt, you look around and compare, then you try to recall, what did the book say? What did the monk say? Or what did the teacher say? Or what did Brother Teo say? Then you are not investigating. You are not developing your own understanding. Then your thought project and ask you to find out. Whatever thought project is not the truth, not the reality. It will create doubt. It will create fear, worry, anxiety. Then when somebody confirms, yeah, you are doing it right, wow, you're very happy, full of joy. But again, if you don't investigate, you never learn. That is what people tell you. Then one day, if things don't go the way it's supposed to go, then you have doubt again, then you ask again. You can ask, but ask with understanding means you ask to develop the understanding. You ask not to seek answer, understand not? Answer no use on, understand not? Right and wrong no use on. Yeah. Every time I ask a question, last time when I was with my teacher, I ask because I want to understand the topic, understand not? Then what he tell me is not important. What is important is I want him to share his understanding, whether he has experienced this before or not, whether he has gone through this before or not. If he is experienced and he is very good, he will be able to tell me many, many things that I have never learned before. Then I will know this person has wisdom and understanding much, much higher than my nature. Then I will follow that teacher or that guy. So asking questions is like that, not to seek answer. Because a lot of cultivators, their problem is what? They will ask me, Brother Teo, I do meditation like that. Right? Then the next question, what must I do if I say wrong? Then if I give you instruction, means what? You follow that instruction blindly. You're supposed to understand why you are doing it like that and why you do it wrongly. Right and wrong is about understanding. When you understand, then you don't ask people, so what must I do? Means what? You are not trying to find out. No? You want like instant noodle, no? Maggi Mee, you know, very fast one. Cannot. You have to find out. Then you have to work yourself towards it. Like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. So all this, when you understand, you will know how to ask the appropriate question so that you develop the understanding. You ask question to understand the topic. You don't ask question to get answer. Answer no use. Right and wrong no use. But when he had explained to you with such clarity, then you will know, like what you heard, because it's synchronized. That's why you have a lot of joy, because you have gone through life and it relates to reality so closely. And because you also have certain past and certain understanding to deal with life. But with this explanation, it becomes so much clearer, understand? And so easy to understand, because all this has been pointed out so clearly. And even meditator, cultivator, after 30, 40 years, still cannot understand this very basic teaching and understanding. Because they are more interested in the meditative experience, in the jhana, the jnana, and what they do. They are not interested in developing understanding to live life, to understand life, to overcome life's problem. If your meditation doesn't bring about wisdom and understanding to allow you to understand life, live life, and have the joy and the happiness to confront life, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. There is some other meditation leading to fantasy, leading to fantastic mind state. And that one is energy field, different. So this one is related to awareness leading to wisdom, leading to the direct seeing. Okay, very good. Anything else? No more. 10 minutes passed. Sorry, take up 10 minutes of your extra time. Okay, we will close the meditation. We will do the sharing of merit transformation. This is a closing puja, and you will develop a lot of merits for you all. We will recall to mind all of this wholesomeness that we have developed. After going through this session, you would have accumulated a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits. All of the 10 meritorious actions, you would have already fulfilled them if you are a real cultivator. The 10 meritorious actions are when you rejoice, is one of them. When you make offering, dana, generosity is one of them. Then when you keep your precept, renew your precept, is another meritorious action. Then when you pay respect to the Buddha, reverential salutation, is another meritorious action. Then when you listen to the Dhamma, is another meritorious action. When you straighten your view, is another meritorious action. Then now you can actually use these merits and transfer merits to departed ones. There is another meritorious action. Share merits with the devas. There is another meritorious action. Then invoke the blessing for your, for causes and conditions for you to move along the path of Dhamma. Then you can invoke blessing for the nation. So all these are very wholesome, very meritorious. Okay, now we will do it. I will chant in Pali, then I will read the translation to you all. They are also in the chanting book. I don't know what page. 14, page 14. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Aka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa jirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya tayo. So this is the transfer of merits to departed ones and all those who can receive them. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy always. Then now we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Then now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. You can recite within your own mind. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami.
Thank you.